Good evening and welcome to the Dr. Nyman Show podcast. Today is Thursday, December 24th, 2020. For the latest on the SARS-CoV-2 pandemic, we now turn to Dr. Henry Nyman.
Okay, thanks, Ryan. Yeah, I just want to do a little bit of an update on these variants that are out there and these so-called variants that by most definitions wouldn't be called a variant, but are creating a buzz in the media and people are getting concerned and probably need a review on exactly what's out there. There basically are two variants that are causing the concern. One's mostly in the UK and the other's mostly in South Africa. And these variants have a lot in common, which includes quite a few mutations in the spike gene as well as a few other genes. And they do seem to be associated with more easily spread and seem to have a higher titer and seem to affect young people and probably are going to result in more severe disease. It's probably a little bit early to see that, but I think that will become more apparent. It is putting some young people in the hospital. And most of the analysis I've been doing is really based on the sequences, and the sequences are being released at a higher clip, and they're going into GSAD, and they kind of reformatted that a little bit so that you can actually do a search for individual mutations and find what's in the database, which is, getting close to 300,000 sequences now. And so you can run through those and see exactly what's out there and what kind of combinations are out there. And many of the elements that are in these variants are out there as individual changes. So essentially, all of these variants really have evolved from what I call the Italian strain, which had one particular change in the spike protein. And that change was seen in northern Italy initially. It's called D614G. Sometimes because the D changed to a G, it was called the G clade, and then there were other versions of it that had some additional mutations. There's the GH clade and the GR clade. And it became more and more dominant. And so almost every new sequence now has the particular change, this D614G. Both of the variants have it. This is, the change that was present in the outbreak in New York and all of the major outbreaks in the U.S. back in the spring. And then it just, it literally took over the world. So the only sequences that are recently released that aren't this, pretty much, are sequences from samples that were collected months ago and are just now being released. So you do have some that are released in December that aren't this particular G clade or don't have D614G, but they were collected last spring or maybe the beginning of the summer, but they were collected a while ago. And this changeover kind of started fairly dramatically in the spring and then kind of went into the summer, and by now it's pretty well complete that most of the new sequences from recent collections that were collected in October, November, December are going to be a sequence that has D614G in the spike protein. And the outbreak, the variant in the UK is spreading fairly dramatically, you know, based upon the sequences. They were initially identified in Denmark. I think there's 9 sequences now in Denmark. And then the next one, I kind of have a list. It was in Australia. That was from a collection of November 30th. Then it was in the Netherlands, collected December 5th. And then in Hong Kong, just collected December 7th. Then in Singapore, collected December 8th. And then in Australia, again, collected on December 9th. And then actually the South African sequence was identified in England, collected December 12th. And then there was isolate in Gibraltar. It doesn't say, it just says it was in December, but it was probably about that time. It was submitted December 17th. And then Hong Kong, December 13th, and then the Netherlands, also December 13th, and then Italy, December 14th, and then Israel, December 16th, and then Australia, December 19th, and the Netherlands, also December 19th. So that's what's at GSAD right now. You can see media reports indicate there's even more than that. So in Australia, there's 2 sequences from Sydney and 1 from South Australia. And then in between, there's a couple that are probably from Melbourne. So there's like 5 out of Australia. Israel, there's at least 3 others that have been described in media reports. Some media reports suggest that there are sequences in Iceland, there's sequences in Belgium. They suspect there's sequences in France. And there have been any sequences in the U.S. And unfortunately, that's probably more due to a lack of testing than it is a lack of the variants. The variant is probably already here. It's probably already transmitting. And it hasn't been sequenced because it's fairly recent. And the surveillance of cases that don't go to the hospital, just kind of come here, has been limited. I mean, you don't identify the variant unless you actually sequence it. Presently, that's what's required, and sequencing's kind of faded. So the U.S. is a whole lot like it was back in the spring when the outbreak happened in New York, that most of the effort was on the West Coast looking at sequences that came from China, and they really weren't doing any screening of people that came from Europe. And now it's kind of the same thing that, you know, some of the hospitals were doing testing. So when they had big outbreaks back in the spring, they are doing a lot of testing. And then there was some testing when there were other outbreaks over the summer. There hasn't been that many screening of people that weren't that sick that had just arrived from overseas. And so the reason we don't have any is probably because we haven't tested for any. But because of these variants, there's been more interest in trying to figure out where the variants are beyond the ones that I just read. And media reports have been citing other variants in other countries. And that's created all kind of frenzy. Probably the one that's got the most attention has been Nigeria. Nigeria is based upon 2 sequences, you know, a grand total of 2, that there were the Italian strains, so they did have, the D614G, but they also had one additional change, which was P681H. Now, P681H is kind of interesting because virus has got a polybasic cleavage site that to get into the cell, not only does it have to interact with a receptor, which is the ACE2 receptor in this case, but it also has to get cleaved by an enzyme encoded by the cell that it's infecting. And it turns out that this virus has about four amino acids inserted into the cleavage site, and it's got multiple, it's actually got three basic amino acids. And because of the spacing of those three amino acids, this enzyme called furin can cleave the spike protein, and which is required for the virus to get in, and the furin protease is fairly widespread, so the virus is able to get into a lot of different cell types. And this change is right next to two of those basic amino acids. It's just on the amino side of the two. There's two, then there's another amino acid, and there's a third one. And where the two together are, this is right in front of those two. And it basically changes the P to an H. And that is precisely what is in the so-called Nigerian variant. It really just has the one change, the D614G that everybody has, and then they've added P681H. Well, it's not really clear that makes the virus more easily transmitted or grow to a higher titer, or I don't even know why they're excited about it, other than that is one of the 10 changes that is in the UK variant. So the UK variant has 10 changes, including three of which are deletions, one of which is the D614G, and then the other one is this P681H. So that is in the UK variant, but the UK variant has, if you take away the 614, it's still got eight other ones besides those two. And so calling it a new variant isn't really that accurate. The variants that have caused the concern have a number of different changes, and this particular one only has one of them. And to make it more curious, because of these variants, the sequencing is starting to go up in the U.S. New York is starting to do more sequencing, and they actually just deposited 199 sequences today that were from collections that were mostly in November, and then Virginia put up a bunch of them out of the full total. But I did do a search for the P681H, and actually 70 of the sequences from New York that were deposited today actually does have that change, and six of the sequences from Virginia have that change. So that particular change that is referred in the press as the Nigerian variant, that's really a variant, and that's widespread in the U.S. But most would not put that into the variant category. It's just the Italian strain and one change. And there's lots and lots of, since virtually every sequence now has the 614G, then almost any sequence is the Italian strain that has one additional change in the spike protein would qualify as a new variant. So there would really be dozens and dozens of new variants by that definition. And unfortunately, the same thing's happening in Malaysia. Malaysia has what they're calling a variant because it has A701V, and it's the same thing. It's the Italian strain. It's got one change, and that change happens to match the variant from South Africa. And so South Africa variant also has A701B, and because of that, they're kind of saying that that's what's going on in Malaysia. Now, in Malaysia is a country, most Asian countries initially didn't see this Italian strain for a while. And so they're used to the other strains, which aren't quite as virulent or active, which is why they've all been replaced now. But so a lot of the Asian countries, when the Italian strain comes in there, and in many cases coming in late, so they're getting it over the summer, they're getting it closer to the fall, also, and that seems like a big deal, but it's not. It's the virus is now everywhere, so, but it's coming there for the first time late because they had another plague that was there earlier. And so they see that, and they see a lot of activity, and they look at it, and they say, oh, it's got 614G, which is D614G, which is in both variants. It's in the UK and South Africa. And then it's got A701V, which is in South Africa. So it's kind of like the South African variant, but it really isn't. And the activity they're seeing is probably due a lot more to the 614G, which is everywhere, than the A701V, which is has a much more limited distribution. So a couple of these variants that are described in the media and causing some concern are really the Italian strain with one change. And it creates a bigger buzz probably in Asia because Asia didn't have the Italian strain early. So they had SARS-CoV-2. They had COVID cases, but they didn't experience how quickly the virus spreads when it's the Italian strain. And that's the reason Italian strain is essentially taken over the world. And virtually everything now is the Italian strain, including the two variants that's in the news. So they all have the D614G. And the variants that are causing the biggest concern have many additional changes. The ones in South Africa have two additional receptor binding domain changes. Neither A701B nor P681H are in the receptor binding domain. And but the P681H, it's kind of interesting because some of the other sequences in New York are P681R. R is a basic amino acid, and that actually is right in front of the other two basic amino acids. So then it becomes three basic amino acids in a row. And it starts to look a whole lot like the polybasic plebiscite of avian influenza, high path avian influenza, which has a string of usually six or seven basic amino acids. And now the SARS-CoV with that particular change is up to four. So it's, most of them only have three. But And the furin plebiscite really only requires two. So it'll still be cleaved by furin, but having an extra basic amino acid would probably bring in some additional proteases that might allow the virus to infect more cell types that ones that don't have furin but have another protease that would recognize this additional basic amino acid. But the bottom line is that the viruses that are causing the most concern are the ones in South Africa, which has so far only been reported in England as a site outside of South Africa, and the one in England in the UK that has been identified in many more countries and not limited to Europe. The ones that are closest to it in Europe are positive, but it's also in Israel and Singapore and multiple cases in Australia and Hong Kong. And so it's already traveled pretty far from London and a lot farther than the U.S. is from London. And so it's almost certain that the virus is in the U.S. and the surveillance is particularly poor, and so it hasn't been reported yet in the U.S. But that's, you know, kind of like things were in the spring when we were flying blind. We're flying blind once again for another dangerous virus, and we don't know where it is, but we do know this probably here because it's a lot of other places, and the one and the other places all originated from the UK, and the US gets its fair share of flights from the UK, and there's really no reason that the virus wouldn't also be in the United States, and there's very little reason why the virus would be quite a bit more widely spread in the countries that have already identified the virus, because there's probably a much higher number of people that brought the virus and were either asymptomatic or for whatever reason didn't get identified as being infected and pass the virus along, and nobody has any idea because it hasn't been long enough for the frequency to be high enough that it's going to be kind of discovered by accident. But the CDC announced they're going to do extra screening, and New York said they're going to do extra screening. It looks like Virginia's already doing extra screening, and it's likely that, you know, many states will start looking a little harder at, you know, what sequences do they have in these new cases, and do they have these variants or other versions with some of the same changes. And so I think there'll be a lot of sequences coming out in the next few weeks, and the variants will be identified here, and the same is probably true for a lot of countries. It's very likely that this virus is spreading worldwide, especially the UK one, which seems to be, you know, totally covering the UK. That I think it's in the 40-60% range of areas that weren't even reported as having the virus a week or two ago. And, you know, initially it was supposed to be in the southeast England, and then it was kind of and London area, which is adjacent to Kent, is where it was initially identified, which is in the southeast. But it's been identified in places all over England now, and the percentage of the sequences identified that are the variant is getting higher and higher. It's in the 60-70% range, and in some places probably even higher than that. I would imagine in London it's probably, you know, approaching 80-90 or maybe even 100% by now. So in any event, that's what the variant story is. I haven't really updated the cases tonight. I don't really have anything on that yet. And but the sequences are popping up. I've actually started a map on where these variants are, so that under the sequence thread at recombinomics.co. And under COVID sequences, I'm starting threads, and they link to the location on the map, and then the maps link back to the thread where the virus got a little bit of description on how similar it is to the consensus sequence of the UK variant. I'm also doing the South African variants, but I'm not doing the ones in the originating country. I mean, there are literally thousands of sequences now from the UK. So I'm just doing the sequences outside of the UK, at least initially. And you know, I don't know how long I'll keep up. I think the numbers are going to get in the too many to count category in the not too distant future. But there's only one of the South American. One of that one's in England. And I'll keep the map going for a little bit so that people can glance and see where these variants are and where they aren't. And you know, the map's usually better to show where they aren't, because where they aren't is where they're not testing, not where they really aren't. And there aren't any in the U.S. Actually, there aren't any in North America or South America. And that probably says a lot more about testing in both continents rather than the absence of people flying there from the UK, or you know, it's getting the other countries. I mean, there's probably a fair number in Denmark by now, and I don't know how many people from Denmark fly where outside of the area, but I'm sure that plenty of people from the UK fly to the US, and some of them I think undoubtedly brought the virus with, and the virus is here. It's just not clear where, and it's not clear how much there is. But I do expect that'll clear up in the next couple of weeks. So that's it for right now. Don't worry too much about this Nigerian variant. There's certainly a lot more of the Nigerian variant in New York than there is in Nigeria, or there's certainly more sequences. You know, there may be more testing now, but they haven't been doing that much testing in New York. So they did 199 sequences. I don't know how many they have from Nigeria, but it's not a trivial number. There's probably 50 or 100 sequences from Nigeria by now, and there's only two that have this one change, where there's 70 in New York, and there's 6 in Virginia, and most states haven't really done any real testing outside of their hospitals, and even their hospitals are not necessarily having a whole lot of samples collected in December, like as in zero, and they don't even have that many collected in November. They've got samples from September, October, which was too early to really get this virus. It didn't really show up in Kent until the end of October. And so it's fairly recent. The numbers are going to go up. And the idea that this virus won't end up following in its original footsteps and end up replacing the Italian strain with no other changes, with just 614G, D14G, that'll probably have this whole constellation with all of these changes in the spike protein and all of these deletions and stop codons, will become much more widespread than it is right now, and much more than it is currently unreported, but present, you know, which I think is much higher than than most people realize. And it's just a matter of testing the right people and getting that done. And the right people would probably be people that have milder illnesses and have tested positive but haven't even gone to the hospital, and are younger people living on the East Coast. That's where I think you'll find the UK variant most easily. So we'll see how long it takes, but I'm pretty sure it's already here, and many others agree. And we'll see how well the vaccine works. There's really no data on that yet. They're talking about having a test ready in a couple of weeks to see how well the antibodies against the original virus will be able to neutralize the new case, which is what they typically do for two all the time. And I'm surprised they don't already have that set up for coronavirus, because the fact that coronaviruses recombine and can evolve very quickly is not a new concept or idea or fact. I mean, that's all very well known, and there's no reason to think the virus is going to sit still. It's going to evolve, and the more antibodies out there, the faster it'll evolve. That's just how evolution works. So that's it for now, and I'll give an update as soon as more sequences are out, which will probably be tomorrow.
Thank you for that information. That's it for this edition of the Dr. Newman Show podcast. Thanks for listening, and we will continue to update you on the unfolding pandemic. And we will see you next time.